Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, we're going to read verses 6 through 13. And let's stand as we do so for the reading of the Word of God. Matthew chapter 26, we'll read responsibly. I'll read verse 6, you read verse 7, and so on. Matthew chapter 6, verses 6 through 13. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in me that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did this for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her." Now, Lord, as we come to your book, come to your word, come to this preaching sermon, I pray, God, that you would bless. I pray, Lord, that you'd open our hearts. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you'd speak through me tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Be probably a little bit different message here tonight. Truth of the matter is, when I preach, some people may not believe this, perhaps, but when I preach, I love to preach on the love of God and love to preach on comfort and joy and peace. And this might be a little bit different flavor sermon tonight. The Bible says to rebuke once in a while, and if it sounds a little bit rebuking, it's not that I'm pointing at anybody. If the Holy Spirit certainly has his work. But tonight I want to preach to you on, to what purpose is this waste? Jesus had come to Bethany, to the house of Simon the leper. Here at this place was a lady by the name of Mary of Bethany. She came to Jesus with this alabaster box of very precious ointment, no doubt very expensive, cost a lot of money. She poured the ointment on Jesus' head. By doing so, this is a way of one showing honor to our Savior. The disciples, of course, these men of God, those that have walked with Jesus, those that have talked with Jesus, those who have ministered with Jesus, they were shocked. They had a look of, the Bible says, of indignation. They were very displeased by this action, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? Mary, why would you waste this precious ointment for such an act? Why would you do this? You could have gone ahead and sold this ointment for much and given to the poor." And Jesus, of course, rebuked them and told them, "She hath wrought a good work," stating, "The poor will always be with you, but I will not always be with you." I want to take a moment here in my introduction, talk real quickly about the disciples and their initial response. I think they kind of had, the disciples, these men of God, mind you, I mean, they walked with Jesus and they knew Jesus, but their look of indignation reminds me of a lot of the world when we serve God. I think it was kind of a worldly attitude, if you will. The disciples who walked with Jesus and served with Jesus seems to have a touch of worldliness here to me. The world looks at us, if you will, with disgust when we go to church. You know, we've seen that. When we go to church, why would you want to do that? When we go out soul winning, the world would go ahead and say, in essence, when they slam a door on your face, "Why, don't bother me." They can't believe that we would go to church three times a week. How many's ever heard that? You do that? Sunday morning? Sunday night? Wednesday night? Why? You know, they look at you funny. And they look at us funny by the perhaps by the way we dress, by the music that we listen to, by the Bible that we preach. And by the way, I make no apologies for that. I make no apologies for my stand for Christ. I make no apologies by my preaching the King James Bible. I make no apologies for going out soul winning and telling people about Jesus and doing my part. If they don't want to listen to me, I believe there's somebody out there that does want to listen to me. I'm not going to sit there at a door and if they give me an indifferent look, or if they go ahead and slam the door in my face. I'm not going to sit there and quit because someone slammed the door in my face. I'm going to go ahead and find somebody that wants to go ahead and listen to me. But the world, I think that the disciples here, they kind of looked, had that look like, why, Mary, would you do that? Let me just say this, disciples, do you realize who Mary was pouring that precious ointment on? Do you realize, disciples, that you will always have the poor with you, as Jesus said, but you're not always going to have me with you? You see, disciples, one of these days, I'm not going to be able to go ministering from city to city and to town. One of these days, I'm going to go ahead and follow God's, my Father's plan, and I'm going to die on a cross. And Mary came to the realization that this was a time that she could go ahead and honor her Savior. The disciples, I think, kind of missed it here. World, go ahead and you laugh at us. You laugh at us because we come to church. You laugh at us because we want to dress right and look right and have a proper testimony. You know, by the way, as a preacher, I don't think I'm doing my job if I don't get a little bit of laughing at. If someone goes ahead and makes fun of me because of my stand, because of the way I look, you know what? Probably I'm not doing my job, because the truth of the matter is we're supposed to come out from among them, the Bible says, and be ye separate. There ought to be a different attitude about us. There ought to be a certain joy about us. Our testimony ought to be something that speaks volumes about our Savior. And the truth of the matter is, if we get laughed at, so be it. Hey, disciples, you should have been rebuked. And Jesus went ahead and rebuked them. You know better. Your Jesus deserves the best of everything that you can go ahead and give. He deserves our best attitude. He deserves our best dress. He deserves our godly music. I'm talking about victory in Jesus. I'm talking about face to face, I shall behold him. I love to tell the story. He deserves our godly music. He deserves the great hymns of the faith. I'm talking about "It Is Well With My Soul," the hymns that have been tried and tested. It's just not this little ditty that maybe get on some charts for just a little while and then you don't hear about them again. I'm talking about the great hymns of the faith. He deserves our good testimony. He deserves our tithes, the top 10% of our income. He deserves godly men looking like men and ladies looking like ladies. He deserves our young people going to an altar one day and marriage clean and pure, and one day standing beside their mate and say, "I've kept myself for you. I've not been hanging on every guy. I've not been hanging on every girl. I've kept myself for you." You say, "Preacher, that's a little bit too old-fashioned. That doesn't work today." No, it's Bible. It is Bible. The Bible says, hey, I just mentioned it. The Bible says we're supposed to come out from among them. Who's them? The world. And be ye separate. I don't know about you. When Jesus came into my life, hey, it was a great day. When Jesus came into my life, there's been a great change since I've been born again. When Jesus came into my life, I'm not supposed to keep on wearing the old man and the cloak of the old man. I became a new man in Jesus Christ. And the truth of the matter is, it's not too old-fashioned to preach this book the way it is. It's not too old-fashioned to go ahead and preach purity. It's not too old-fashioned to go ahead and preach against rock music. It's not too old-fashioned to go ahead and preach against the Hollywood garbage that we enter into our home. What I'm trying to say here, disciples, I think you missed it. Mary wanted to go ahead and honor her Savior. She realized we're not going to have Jesus very long, but this is a way of honor. Disciples, you missed it. We have way too many teen pregnancies in America today. It is allowed, you know what? It all started when we stopped teaching this book right here in the public schools. It all started, listen to me, when they went ahead and they slowly pulled God out of public schools. I mean, but believe me, I was in public school for a while. When I was, I'm kind of dating myself, but in the mid-80s, okay, it puts me into my teen years. The truth of the matter is, some of you are looking at me, the 80s, yeah, okay. But the truth of the matter is, mid-80s, you know what? I couldn't talk about God in public school. It all happened very slowly in the 60s. Listen to me. It all happened in the 60s, and they very slowly pulled prayer out of public school. There was a day my granddaddy and my mom and dad would tell me that they would go ahead and open up the King James Bible. They would go ahead and read the Bible. They would go ahead and make God first and foremost. And let me tell you something. When that book was taught right there in the minds of our children, we didn't have the teen pregnancy rate that we have today. We didn't have all the junk that we have today. And it's time that America woke up and started preaching this book. It's time that our churches woke up and got back to preaching the old book again. You say, well, Pastor, this is just too old-fashioned. I didn't come here for this. And I'm not, hey, listen, I'm trying to go ahead and salvage some American lives tonight. I'm trying to salvage some of you kids. You may think, Pastor, this is just too much. But the truth of the matter is, I love you. And if I didn't go ahead and love you, I wouldn't go ahead and preach what I preach tonight. But the truth of the matter is, I want to help you. And I want you to go ahead and one day perhaps come to an altar like this. And there's a husband to be there or a wife to be there. And you can go ahead and say, one day I saved myself for you. I wasn't just loose in my morals. I went ahead and I followed my youth leader, what he taught me. I followed my preacher, what he taught me. I had a walk with God. And let me tell you something. If you do go to public school, if you do have some work and live in the worldly environment, you can still do right. You can still do right. You say, I don't know, I can't. Yes, you can still do right. Hey, listen. We have too many teen pregnancies today. We have we did not have HIV and all the STDs when men of God stood up and boldly preached this book. Well, what I'm trying to say, we need to get back to old-fashioned, clean living tonight. We need to go get back to this book right here. Well, this book ought to get back in our homes. I say it again, this book needs to get back into our homes. We need to go ahead and teach this to our kids. And if you're a child here tonight, if you're in a situation where, well, I don't have that kind of leadership in my home, well, you know what? You have that kind of leadership of love here in the church, and you know what to do. You take that Bible, and you make it precious to you each and every day because you need it. You need it to go ahead and go to school and face the old devil during the week. You need it. Let me tell you something, teenager. You need this book. And don't you go ahead and put it down, and don't you go ahead and stop your ears to this kind of stuff. You just go ahead and open up your heart and you listen to the book. You allow God to work. We need to go ahead and quit watching the garbage that promotes sex and sexual promiscuity in our homes and loose morals. We need to go ahead and quit necking and petting before marriage, which fuel other passions that can go ahead and stop, which you cannot go ahead and stop. Hey, let me tell you something. The Bible says it is good for a man not to touch a woman. It's also good vice versa. I'm talking about outside the bounds of marriage. You know, if you're going to live clean and pure in a society like this, you say this is old-fashioned, but it's Bible. If you're going to live clean and pure, teenager, if you're going to go ahead and come to this altar clean and pure, you know, you need to take heed to this book and say, you know what, I'm going to save myself from marriage. I'm going to go ahead and have the kind of family God wants me to have, but it's going to start right now. It's going to start right now. It's going to take you taking the word of God and absorbing it like a sponge and allowing it to go ahead and work in your life and allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. You know, I've taught on this some on Wednesday nights. You know, the Bible says to walk in the Spirit. Why? So you fulfill not the lust of the flesh. You know, when we got saved, you know, the Holy Spirit came in. Okay? And the truth of the matter is, He wants us to go ahead and accept all of Him. Okay? But sometimes we just go ahead and just push the Holy Spirit away when He's trying to work in our hearts. When He's trying to go ahead and massage our hearts, when we get under the preaching of the Word of God, or when you read your Bible, boy, and it speaks to you, you know what's happening? That's the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Whenever you hear preaching like this, maybe, or whenever you're in your own private time, I know I have it, but when you're in your own private time and you're reading the Bible and the Holy Spirit kind of speaks, you know, it kind of feels a little uncomfortable, you know, that's the Holy Spirit. The Bible says to quench not the Holy Spirit. If He speaks to you or shows you some things in life that need to be weeded away or cut away, let Him do it. Let Him do it. You know, let Him make and mold you to be what you want, what He wants you to be. But it's time, what I'm trying to say here tonight, is time for America to get back to this book. It's time that we allowed God to be the center of our lives again. It's sad. You look all over the place. You know, you watch the TV. You watch, you see the billboard. It's sad how America has totally gone ahead and lose their morals. I mean, you've got junk all over the place. An America that was founded on the principles of this book right here. An America that was founded upon some good hard preaching of the D.L. Moody's. And I'm talking about the Billy Sun. I mean, people that just went ahead and just preached this book the way it is. And there was a time when America looked to God, but somewhere along the way in our generation, we have slowly, slowly, slowly turned our back on God. Let me tell you something, there's going to be a price. There's going to be a price to pay for that one day. But I believe As by the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, and I'm talking about the people right here, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Then I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I believe there's hope for America tonight, and it's going to be found in the church house. It's going to be found upon the preacher getting up and preaching this book. It's going to be found by some men and women of God, some boys and girls and teenagers of God that will decide, hey, I'm going to go ahead and live right. I'm going to go ahead and read my Bible. I'm going to go ahead and pray. And you say, well, all the peer pressure of the world, I can't live right, Pastor Weeks. All the peer pressure of the devil, I can't go ahead and live right. Oh, yes, you can. You make this book right here a part of your life. And you make the godly authority that are over you a part of your life. And they'll help you get through them tough times. They'll help you get through the peer pressures of life. What I'm trying to say, we need to get back to loving God again. Disciples, you had it wrong. You have that indignation. Why would you go ahead and waste that precious ointment and pour it on Jesus? You know why? Because it's Jesus. Because it's Jesus. Mary had it right. You wanted to give the best to the best, Mary. And the best was Jesus. And boy, let me tell you something. Just as she wanted to go ahead and give the best to the best, we ought to want to give God our best. I'm talking about our best morals. I'm talking about the best that we can give. She focused she was not focused on other causes. Here, the disciples had that indignation look. Oh, man, you could have sold that and given it to the poor and helped the poor and needy. Hey, at this particular time, Mary wasn't focused on other causes. She was focused on the cause. That is Christ. You know, David said, is there not a cause? When that old goon, the Philistine, that big old guy came into town and it was defying God and making fun of God. Hey, let me tell you something. It was a little boy, a little 17-year-old lad. I'm talking about a teenager that went ahead and changed a nation, went ahead and said, hey, is there not a cause? He realized there was a cause bigger than himself, and he said, I'll go get me 5 school stones. I'll get me a slingshot, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to fight for God, because nobody's going to make fun of my God. Nobody's going to go ahead and defy my God like that Philistine is. Hey, giant, you may be bigger than me, but bless God, I'm going to go ahead and give God all I got, and by God's grace, I'm going to defeat you. Hey, you know what? David had a cause. Mary, he was not focused on other causes here. She was focused on the cause. She was at the time, it might be good that we stop focusing on what we want and what Jesus wants. Stop focusing on other things that will steer you away from the cause being Christ Jesus. Let me give you a few things here tonight. Number one, this precious ointment. I want you to tonight realize that you are that precious ointment. Listen to me. You know, God breathed life into you. God made you. You look like what God wants you to look like. You know, he could have done a better job on me, I know. I look in the mirror, I say, man, God, I could be a little bit more handsome than I am, but that's okay. But the truth of the matter is, God made you to look how he wants you to look. So in the eyes of God, you are the best. You know, we're all God's got. Okay, we're all God's got to go ahead and fulfill his plan here on earth. Okay, believe me, I've said it before, if Jesus would walk back through them doors and grab this microphone and grab my Bible and say, okay, Pastor Weeks, you've done your job, I'm going to go ahead and pastor this church. Okay, Jesus, I want you to. Believe me, he'd do a whole lot better job. But the truth of the matter is, I'm all you got. And if you've got a Sunday school class, that Sunday school class is all you got. If you've got a bus route, that's all they've got. If you got children in your home, hey, they're all you got. Hey, let me tell you something. God, the God, breathed life into you. And because of that, we are that precious ointment. God wants your life to be useful. And since you are no waste, don't treat yourself like you are. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 139:14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. You know, I hear people, and it really hurts me when someone says, well, Pastor Weeks, I'm a nobody. I'm this. No, you aren't. You're somebody special to God. You know, we all kind of base our life upon what we can do and how good we are upon our talent. Hey, you know what? Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you look like in here. God wants to use you. He created you for a purpose. Marvelous is his works. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, the Bible says. Don't you cut yourself down. You become somebody for God. Realize that you are the best, that God breathed life into you, and because of that, you are the best. You are that precious ointment. So since you are the best, since you are that precious ointment, Jesus is worthy of you. You know, the Bible says, I'm going to turn to it. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I'm going to turn to this and read this, very familiar verses. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, since we are the best, since we are that precious ointment, since God breathed life into us, Jesus is worthy of us. You know, just as Jesus went ahead and he presented his body a living sacrifice, he went ahead and he gave all so that we could have all in heaven. Let me tell you something, we are to go ahead and do the same. We are to present our bodies literally a living sacrifice. Every day you ought to say, okay, God, I give you my eyes, I give you my mind, I give you my hands, I give you my feet, I give you my heart. You help me to think what you want me to think. You help me to look at what you want me to look at. You help me to touch what you want me to touch. You help me to walk where you want me to go. You help me to say the things you want me to say. You help me to hear what you want me to hear. And the truth of the matter is, we are, our body is God's, and we are to present. We are literally just as God, Jesus, he presented his whole body so that we could have eternal life. He gave all so you could have all in eternal life. And the truth of the matter is, we're to do the same. Boy, it'll keep us out of a whole lot of trouble if we just every day just present, okay, God, here I am. Boy, the Bible, God says, Paul said, I die daily. You know, Paul knew what his flesh can do. Paul knew that that old robe of flesh would go ahead and steer him the wrong way and take him a whole different direction. And Paul, every single day, great missionary that he was, every single day, I have to die daily. I have to go ahead and really rip off this robe of flesh so that I can go ahead and be what God wants me to be. Hey, since you are the best, Jesus is worthy of you. He's worthy of a clean mind. He's worthy of a clean heart. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. He's worthy of clean speech. He's worthy of a clean testimony. He died and he gave his best for you. He deserves our best. I'm talking about our best attitude towards authority. I'm saying with mama and daddy, I grew up in a home when mama and daddy told me to go ahead and do something, I did it, or else. Well, it wouldn't hurt to get back to that or else part. Sometimes we're too scared, and I've taught a little bit about it, but sometimes we get too scared on the or else part. If little Johnny or little Susie does something wrong, we just kind of laugh at it. No, the truth of the matter is, we need to nip that thing in the bud. Foolishness, the Bible says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and we need to go ahead and nip that foolishness. And as a parent, we need to go ahead and teach and train our kids. But the truth of the matter is, hey, God deserves our best attitude towards authority. You have a mom in your home, you say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. My mom don't go to church, my dad don't go to church. But the truth of the matter is, they're still your authority. Why? Because the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And the Bible also says that you will live long upon the land when you do. I'm talking about best attitude towards authority. I'm talking about lifting up your mom and dad and telling your mom and dad that you love them. Hey, you know what? Hey, let me just say, to do all of us adults good, you have a mom and dad still around, you ought to call them, tell them you love them once in a while. They won't be around forever. You know what? That's respect, and that's the best attitude towards authority. When I talk to my mom and dad, when they call or I call them, I always end with an I love you. There's nothing weird about that. Hey, he deserves our best. He deserves our best. He deserves our best on the job. I'm saying when we go punch in that time clock on the job, he deserves, that job deserves 40 hours work for 40 hours pay. And because we are saved, we ought to rise above that. We ought to go ahead and give that job all we got. We ought to be honest on the job. We ought not be slacking off. We ought to go ahead and do whatever our hand findeth to do. Do it with thy might. I'm talking about on the job. We ought to do our best. I'm talking about in school. We ought to do our best. When you go to school, you work hard there, teenager, young person. You go ahead and you give your best to that school, to that subject. You say, well, I don't understand it. Well, the truth of the matter is, you go ahead and you pass, and you can pass. And don't sit there and say, I'm just too dumb for this. No, you go ahead and pass, and you go ahead and make it and graduate and do something great for God. I'm talking about best in your job, in your school. I'm talking about the best in our ministry, in your prayer life, in your Bible reading. Do you give the best to God in concerning your prayer? You know, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, ye shall receive, the Bible says. You say, well, prayer doesn't work. Hey, do you believe, do you trust that you that he'll answer your prayer? Hey, do you give God the best in your prayer life? Do you give God the best in your Bible reading? Hey, as I mentioned earlier, we need to get back to walking with God. We need to get back to reading this Bible again. We need to get back to this book right here. We need to get back to it. You know, I talked about it this morning, but let me just review real quick. You know, Adam and Eve, they had it made in that garden. They had it made. They had a sweet fellowship with God that only they could ever enjoy. God met them in the cool of the day. We know the story, but let me just review for a minute. But the truth of the matter is, boy, when they went ahead and they sinned, boy, that sweet fellowship was broken. And let me just stop and say this. You know what? Maybe there's some of you here tonight, even in this room. Maybe you didn't make any decision this morning, but the truth of the matter is, maybe there's a sweet relationship with God that's been broken because of sin or whatever. Why don't you decide, you know what, God, you're going to be first and foremost in my life. Why don't you decide that God's going to go ahead and be the first and foremost on my job? He's going to be first and foremost in my school. I'm going to go ahead I'm not going to go ahead and act one way on Sunday, but when I go to school tomorrow, I'm going to act like the devil. No, I'm going to go ahead and have a testimony that would be pleasing to God. I'm going to go ahead and say the words that would be pleasing to God. I'm going to go ahead and sing the music that would be pleasing to God. I'm going to go ahead and read the Bible because it's pleasing to God. Hey, what I'm saying, we need to get back to giving God our best. I'm talking about in our prayer life. I'm talking about our Bible reading. I'm talking about in our Sunday school class. If we teach a Sunday school class, we ought to give our best to that Sunday school class. I'm talking about in our sewing. I'm talking about in our marriage. I'm talking about husbands and wives getting together, getting along again. I'm talking about a husband coming home instead of sitting back and getting cranky and crotchety because of a long day at work. Why don't you come home and say, honey, I love you. Get back to loving your spouse again. Get back to, you know, whatever happened to the days. Oh, it's so nice in your honeymoon stage. You'd come home and you'd be excited and it's new and everything. It's so exciting. And when you came home from work, you couldn't wait to get home. Amen. You couldn't wait to get home. You'd go ahead and throw the lunchbox down. You'd go ahead and throw anything, the car keys around. And you'd come home and say, hey, come on, baby. And by the way, here's a license to do this, by the way, this wedding ring right here. But come on, baby. And you give her a big old lip lock. Let's get back to that. Well, come on, I've been married 20 years. So, whatever happened till death do us part? Amen. And you say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. No. I'm talking about if you're married here tonight, whatever happened to it? You know, let's keep our marriage sweet. Let's keep our marriage strong. Come home and love on your wife instead of bickering. And wife, you do the same. You instead of yelling at the husband because he didn't go ahead and tank up your car with gas or because he didn't do this. And I don't know of any stories. Believe me, listen to me. I didn't go ahead and sit back and, well, this so-and-so. No, I didn't go ahead and do that. But whatever the case may be, because he didn't mow the yard or whatever, maybe because he didn't fix the garage door or there's been a broken knob on the door for months and she's got on you, hey, honey, the honey-do list has been there for 3 months and it's still not fixed. Instead of whining and complaining, dear, you know, every time I go ahead and open this door, it locks me inside. Maybe that's what he wanted. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, instead of fussing and bickering, whatever happened to the sweet spirit of your early marriage, you can keep it. Just takes a little bit of work. You know, husband, you ought to look your best for your wife. Instead of going around slumming and, you know, I mean, man, as soon as you can, get cleaned up and look your best. Wife, you do the same thing. Look your best for your husband. You know, it's so amazing how the tides, things change when, after you're married 15, 20 years. Oh, you know, he loves me, I know it. No, why don't you tell him? You know, maybe your husband does, maybe it's just so ritual now, but maybe your husband needs you to say, hey, honey, I love you. Maybe your wife, yeah, oh man, we've been married 20 years, Pastor, come on. He knows I love her. She knows I love her. Why don't you tell her? Why don't you tell her? Well, we need to give our best in our marriages. We need to treat each other right. We need to give him our best in our appearance. Boy, we ought to look right. We ought to dress right. Boy, you know what? We ought not blend in with the world. You know, our testimony ought to speak volumes. You know, boy, our testimony, when you go into Walmart, and I know a lot of you do, I do, I don't know why, it's an everyday thing, you know what I mean, Walmart. Boy, it's a way of life, American way of life, amen? But the truth of the matter is, when you go into the mall, boy, you know what, you ought to have a testimony that speaks volumes. Boy, there's something different about that individual. There's something different about that family, maybe by the way you act, the way you dress, the way you conduct yourselves. You're not fighting and screaming in the restaurant or whatever. You're not cussing at each other. Boy, you know what? He deserves our best. You know, when the world goes ahead and sees, knows that we're going to, that we're churchgoers and that we are saved and on our way to heaven and different things, but we go out into the world, into the shopping world and different things, and we are acting up and we're fussing back and forth, and the husband's doing this to the wife and the wife's doing this to the husband and so forth. What kind of display is that to the world? They go to church? Boy, they sure don't treat each other very good. I thought they taught marriage and loving one another down there, right? They do that. I don't know if I really want what they have. Hey, what I'm trying to say tonight, we need to give our best to our appearance. We need to give our best to our music. We need to give him our best concerning our friends, concerning our lifestyle. Let the world see Christ in you, as I mentioned a moment ago. Don't try to blend in with the world to try to reach him. We got this evangelical philosophy today. That's what it is. It is what it is. Amen? But you know, we've got to try to blend in with the world to try to reach the lost. No, we don't. You know, and I said it, you know, this kind of, this is what you hired me for. I'm a preacher. I love this book, and I want to do what I believe God is right, and I love you. But the truth of the matter is, you know, it's going to be a cold day where the boogeyman lives before we start sneaking a few drums up here and start jazzing our way around in our music. I don't need to go here. We don't need to blend in with the world and try to have our concerts and stuff like that to try to reach the world. You know what? It's just going to take the old-fashioned gospel and old-fashioned hymns of the faith. Amen. Jesus deserves our best. Number three, you pouring on Jesus is no waste. The disciples thought it was. Mary, I can't believe you do that. But you pouring, if we're that precious ointment and we ought to give our best to God, then us pouring on Jesus is no waste. When Mary poured that expensive ointment on her head, she didn't think twice about it. It was a way for her to honor Christ. The disciples missed it. Well, I think they missed a grand opportunity there. But she wanted to give the very best that she had to the very best. You pouring on Jesus is no waste. I'm talking about the time that you spend in prayer. Go ahead and pour it on, man. Go ahead and pour it on. You know what? If you're praying half hour, 10 minutes, half hour to an hour to 2 hours, hey, you just keep on pouring it on to Jesus. You know what you're saying? Jesus, I love you. I'm talking about when it comes to your Bible reading. Hey, if it goes an hour or two or three, there's nothing wrong with that. What are you doing? You're pouring it on to Jesus. You're saying, Jesus, I love you. I want you to make me be what you want me to be. I'm talking about your ministry. You pour it in, you pour it on Saturday morning and going out visiting on Sunday or some other day of the week, you go out visiting and do some soul winning. What you're doing, you're pouring it on to Jesus. You're pouring that ointment on to Jesus as a way to honor him. Say, Jesus, I love you. I'm talking about your music. Is it God honoring? You're pouring it on to Jesus, and you're saying, Jesus, I love you. I'm talking about the way you dress and the music that you listen to and the life that you live and your body that God gave you. Hey, you know what? You give the best that you can to God, and you just simply pour it on as a way to honor Christ. And what you're saying is, Jesus, I love you. Why? Because you are God's, and he gave the life that you live to you. You listen, and I'm almost through. Here are the disciples and Mary. Jesus came to Bethany, to the house of Simon the leper. And Mary went ahead and took that alabaster box and took that precious ointment, listen to me now, took that precious ointment and poured it on Jesus as a way to say, Jesus, I love you. Hey, let's not be like the disciples with that indignant look. I can't believe you're doing that. Let's go ahead and be like what Mary saw. Let's go ahead and act like what Mary, let's honor Christ, in other words. Jesus, I love you. I want to give you my best. I want to give you my pure heart. I want to give you my pure mind. Jesus, I'll go ahead and do everything I can to live for you. Jesus, I bring it back into the forefront of my life. The disciples, they missed it. Let's not be like that. Let's not be like, I can't believe you'd do that. The world has that attitude. You go to church 3 times a week? Yeah, I do. And smile when you say it, amen? You know, that's what I do. People say, I can't believe you go ahead and go to church 3 times a week and then some. Yeah, I do, and I love it, man. Boy, I get to go down and fellowship with Christian believers, and I get to go down there and sing the songs of Zion, and I get to go ahead and go down and just talk about Jesus. Boy, and I love it. You go soul winning? Yeah, and I love it. Boy, but don't people go ahead and look at you funny? Yeah, they do. But I'm doing it for Jesus. Why? Because I want to pour it on, and I want to give Jesus my best. Hey, teen, he wants your best. Hey, parent, he wants your best. Hey, bus worker, he wants your best. Hey, spouse, he wants your best. But the question is, are you giving him your best? You pouring onto Jesus, your life onto Jesus, is no waste. You know, because he poured all of his life into you. He poured it all. He laid his life out on the line for you. And the question is, are you giving the best that you can to Jesus Christ? You know, there's a song. I'm not going to sing it, but I'm going to just read the words. It's one of my favorite songs in the hymn. I don't know if this hymnal has it, but I found it today. I'm just going to go ahead and read the words. Hear ye the master's call, give him thy best. For be it great or small, this is the test. Do then the best you can, not for reward, not for the praise of men, but for the Lord. Every work for Jesus will be blessed. But he asks from everyone his best. Our talents may be few, these may be small. Then unto him is due our best, our all. Wait not for men to laud, heed not their slight. Winning the smile of God brings his delight. Aiding the good and true ne'er goes unblessed. All that we think or do, be it the best. Every work for Jesus will be blessed. But he asks from everyone his best. Our talents may be few, these may be small. Not unto him is due our best, our all. I didn't get the last part of that written down. But you know what? That's the title of a song, Our Best. And God says, hey, listen, I gave Jesus, my son, the best. I breathe life into you. Because I breathe life into you, because I love you, you are the best. You are that ointment. Now you go ahead and you pour it on, and Jesus is worthy of you. And now you pour it on to Jesus. You pour your life onto Jesus because he's poured so much into you. To what purpose is this waste? There's no waste. What we're doing tonight is no waste. This isn't a waste of time as far as I'm concerned. I know I'm not much, but you know what? I'm all you got. But the truth of the matter is, listen. You know, us being in church Sunday morning, us being in church Sunday night, us being in church Wednesday night, hey, that's no waste. That prayer time that you have, that walk with God time tomorrow morning and the next morning and the next morning each and every day, that's no waste. That soul winning time that you go out to try to win the lost to Christ, hey, that's no waste. Them little boys and girls that you invested in that come forward for salvation because of your investment in them, that's no waste. That's what I'm trying to say. Mary, she didn't miss it. She gave the best of the best, and we ought to do the same. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I think some of us will kind of miss it from time to time. Kind of have that indignant look, why are we doing this again? Why? The truth of the matter is, we do it because we want to give our best to Jesus. And maybe you're here tonight, you say, Pastor, God spoke to my heart. Maybe you got to go ahead and do some business with God along the way here tonight. Maybe you've not been giving God your total best. But you say, tonight, I want to give him my best. I realize I'm that precious ointment, and he's worthy of my best, and he's worthy of everything that I can give him. And maybe you're here tonight. You say, Pastor, God spoke to my heart, and tonight I'm going to go ahead and do business. Now, Heavenly Father, as we come to the invitation, I pray, Lord, that I, as pastor here, will always do my part and do my best to give you my all. That's all I want to do. I want to just give you my all. I want to give you my best for you, for these people, so that you look down, you be pleased. I pray, dear God, that these dear people, their lives here tonight, they'll be pleasing to you. I pray, God, that if there's someone here tonight that they've not been giving their all to you, that tonight they'll decide, I need to give my best to the best. I pray, Lord, that we'd just submit to your will. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. It's going to be just a short invitation, but our heads are bowed. If the Holy Spirit's dealing with you tonight, why don't you just decide, I'm going to step out, and I'm going to go ahead and do business with God tonight. The music's going to play. We won't be very long here, but the music's going to play. But as the music plays, why don't you come forward? Why don't you say, you know what, I'm going to give Jesus my best tonight.